whatever it is, we see our victory. So whenever I sing that song, I always sing, I already see my victory. I'd sing it right now if I had the tune, right? But I already see my victory. Praise God. So whatever that is, with the eye of faith, see it being done. Whether it's a child that's gone astray, see them praising the Lord. Whether it's some financial situation, see it. Whether it's a vehicle you're believing for, imagine yourself driving in that vehicle. Praise God. Whatever it is, see it. We already see it. So we praise God. Welcome to Wednesday night service, our midweek boost. Praise God. You may all be seated this evening. I am going to run through these announcements right now. We're excited. This is our fifth week of Jesus, the Miracle Worker Discipleship Course. We have been enjoying this course. This is awesome. So on Wednesday nights, doors open at 6. We start at 6:30. And this is filled with teaching, discussion, activation, practical hands-on training, ministry labs. It looks a little bit different each week, but it gives us an opportunity to engage with one another, to step out in faith, you know, help, you know, the Lord take that next step, in praying for one another and those kinds of things. And also getting to know one another. We always change up our partners. So we always get a new partner each week. So that helps us in getting to know one another as well. So praise God. Sunday's doors open at 9. Services from 9:20. Pre-service prayer, I should say, is from 9:20 to 9:40. Service starts at 10. So come early. And this Sunday is Mother's Day Sunday. Praise God. We have something special for the ladies. We're looking forward to being together with one another. And so, yes. And so you want to make sure to tell your mom happy Mother's Day. Give them a big hug and listen to everything she says. Amen. Volunteers, we currently have openings for greeters, coffee station back here, ushers, video production, children and youth ministry, and our worship team. Also, if you have a heart to lead a prayer team or a discipleship class, come and see us. We've had some people interested in facilitating this class. And so right now, Pastor Rodney's doing the teaching, and then there's some facilitating afterwards. And so we already had somebody sign up for one of those sessions as well. And I didn't mention, after Wednesday night service, we have refreshments. We have muffins tonight. Shannon brought a meat and cheese tray. Thank you so much. And also there's eggs back there. So help yourself to those things after service tonight. Our website is vlfc.church. If you have, if this is your first time tuning in, and there you can find out more about us, submit your prayer requests, your testimony. Our past sermons are there, video, audio, and sermon notes as well. Praise God. And so tonight, I have one offering passage, and it is out of the Message translation. So if you don't have the Message translation in your Bible, you could just listen along. And it's Luke chapter 6, verse 27 through 38. Again, that's Luke chapter 6, verse 27 through 38 in the Message translation. Praise God. And it's good to have you as well with us, Kenny, tonight. We're blessed to have you, and we're continuing to speak wholeness over you in Jesus' mighty name. We all agree with that. Praise God. Better and better. And you're coming home. Amen. Praise God. So Luke 6, 27 in the Passion Translation. It says, "To you who are ready for the truth." Are we all ready for the truth in here tonight? Amen. I hear that yes down there. "To you who are ready for the truth, I say this, love your enemies. Let them bring out the best in you, not the worst." Selah. "When someone gives you a hard time, respond with the supple moves of prayer for that person. If someone slaps you in the face, stand there and take it. If someone grabs your shirt, gift wrap your best coat and make a present of it. If someone takes unfair advantage of you, use the occasion to practice the servant life. No more payback, live generously. Verse 31, here is a simple rule of thumb for your behavior. Ask yourself what you want people to do for you. Then grab the initiative and do it for them. If you only love the lovable, do you expect a pat on the back? Run-of-the-mill sinners do that. If you only help those who help you, do you expect a medal? Garden variety sinners do that. If you only give what you hope to get out of it, do you think that's charity? The stingiest of pawnbrokers does that. I tell you, love your enemies. Help and give without expecting a return. You'll never, I promise, regret it. Live out this God-created identity the way our Father lives towards us, generously and graciously, even when we're at our worst. Doesn't he, though? Our Father is kind. You be kind. Don't pick on people. Jump on their failures. Criticize their faults. Unless, of course, you want the same treatment. Don't condemn those who are down. That hardness can be a boomerang. Be easy on people. You'll find life a lot easier. Give away your life. You'll find life given back. But not merely given back. Given back with bonus and blessing. Giving, not getting, is the way. Generosity begets generosity. And doesn't that go with what we know, the law of seed time and harvest? What we sow is what we're going to reap. Isn't that a blessing? This is a good passage to meditate on. It really takes the pressure off. Jesus came and he turned it all around for the people. We're not out to get those who are out to get us. We pray for those who persecute us. Amen. And I love how he says it makes our life easier. Be easy on people. You'll find it a lot easier. Amen. Praise God. So when we give into the kingdom, we're given into eternal work. And that's even in our actions towards people. A lot of times when somebody's giving us a hard time, that's because they're hurting, they're going through something, there's something going on in their life, and they need to see and experience the love of God. And that's why we're here. But we have to rise above that in our own thoughts, in our own feelings, and be able to love those who are unlovable and love them into being who God's called them to be. Amen. So tonight, as we're giving, there is a QR code on the screen where you can find out more about the vision. We have those brochures, the vision brochures. And if you don't have a vision brochure, we have them over there. It talks about the next phase in our building project. Also, we're believing for $5,000 above and beyond our regular tithes and offerings to come in by the end of May. We are believing for a property and building of our own with lots of room for growth. We're imagining the vision with rooms for prayer groups, connect groups, nursery, and classrooms for our children's ministry, young adults in a fellowship hall. This Sunday, the children's ministry will be in our Super Kid Academy room. We have some fun things planned for the children this coming Sunday. And we're also believing here for another sign for our building. We're believing for better lighting in the room. We're believing for our children's room to be equipped for ministry. And a keyboard for our praise and worship team. So far, $1,720 has come in. Praise the Lord. And that's $3,280 remaining. Glory to God. So we're believing with one another for this building project to be paid in full. We're going to see those signs out there. Praise God. So when we're giving tonight, there's an offering envelope under your seat or in the seat back in front of you. Or if you're on the front row and you need one, raise your hand. If you're giving online, the information's on your screen. If you're giving by check, please write it to BLFC. If you're giving by cash or card, please fill out the offering envelope. And if it's for the building fund, there's a drop down for that. Or if you're giving in the room, just please write that on there so we know what funds to appropriate it to. And so as we're giving tonight, let me just pray over our offering this evening. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you so much for everyone who's come out this Wednesday. We are expecting a word from God that's going to change our lives forever. We're expecting, Father, to hear from you, to leave here renewed, refreshed, changed in your presence. We thank you for those watching this portion of the teaching, Father, that they're receiving their miracle, that we're all here tonight and we will leave changed in your presence. And so as we give, we declare increase and harvest over the people, that it's multiplied back to them 100-fold. In Jesus' name, amen. You may receive the offering.
Praise the Lord. Ha ha. Thank you, Pastor Paula. Glory to God. Good to be here on this Wednesday night, midweek boost. Say hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. We're going to go ahead and open here in a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you so much for this night. We thank you that Jesus, you are the miracle worker. We thank you, Lord. The word says in Hebrews 13:8, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He was the God of miracles. He is the God of miracles, and he forever is the miracle worker. But Lord, we also thank you tonight that we received the miracles that took place, not just through you, but even as an example to us, but also through our hands. And so Lord, we are cooperating with you tonight, and by faith, we receive the help and ministry of Holy Spirit, breathing on the word, revealing truth to us, and we receive miracles. We receive healing. We receive deliverance. We receive freedom tonight, and we give you thanks for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Well, if you have your Bible with you, let's all hold it up big together. This is my Bible, the living Word of God. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do everything it says I can do, and I will do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah to Jesus. Well, week 5, we've been looking here on this series, a discipleship class on Wednesday night, Jesus, the miracle worker. And tonight we're going to look at a very familiar miracle, which is feeding of the 5,000 plus women and children. Tonight's message is really, the title of it is Jesus Multiplies What You Will Give Him. Whatever you will bring to Jesus, he will bless it. He will cause it to be fruitful. He will cause it to multiply. Amen. But it's not him alone. We have to participate in our own miracle. Amen. You have a part to play. Faith has a role to play in this. And so again, tonight, we're going to be looking at this feeding of the 5,000. This miracle is more than just a moment of supernatural provision. It's a window into how Jesus builds up his disciples, partners with people, and multiplies whatever we will surrender into his hands. Also, notably, this is the only miracle that's actually recorded in all 4 gospel accounts. There's a lot of them that are recorded in 3 or 2 or obviously 1. There's, you know, give or take, you know, who you ask, there's anywhere from 37 to about 40 miracles that you see in all. And some people, is this a miracle? But everyone can agree there's a minimum of 37. But in this one, there's all 4 accounts of it. And each one highlights a slightly different dimension of discipleship. Altogether, they show us that Jesus is the one who will transform what we will bring him, work through our obedience. He moves with compassion, and he reveals himself as the true source of life. Amen. So I want to read this first to us. I'm not going to read all 4 gospel accounts. We're really going to be teaching from John 6:1-13. But I want us to read this passage also from Matthew. I'm going to just read it to us. Matthew 14:13-20 says, when Jesus heard this, so again, Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist, had just been beheaded. He just heard about it. And it says here in Matthew 14:13, when Jesus heard this, he departed from there by boat for a deserted place. But when the people heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. Jesus went ashore and saw a great assembly, and he was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. Amen. Now, Jesus just got literally the worst possible news. his cousin, the only one who really understood him, the forerunner of Jesus, the one who was out preparing the way. John understood who he was. He understood who Jesus was. Amen. No one really understood Jesus the way John did. And again, this is his close cousin. You know, again, John was born 6 months ahead of him. They're family, right? All right. But he just found out he's been beheaded. But how does Jesus respond? The devil, you stole, you came and you killed John. I'm going to respond by tearing into your kingdom. I'm going to minister to the people. I am moved with compassion. And what is compassion? Compassion is love in action. It's love himself going somewhere to happen. Sickness and disease is the king, is the manifestation of the kingdom, really, of hell. There's no sickness and disease in heaven. None whatsoever. He is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our God who heals us. The opposite of that is sickness and disease, and it did not come from him. There's the author of that, death himself, that is Lucifer, Satan, the devil, the enemy of our soul. So what does he do? I'm going to go over here and I'm going to start taking back ground. I'm going to go out. I'm moved with compassion. I see this multitude. I'm going to go heal their sick. This is how he responds. This is how love responds. Not eye for an eye, not tooth for a tooth. You killed my cousin, I'm going to come heal the sick. This is how, again, this is a spiritual battle. This is spiritual warfare. All right? Amen. Glory to God. He healed their sick. Verse 15, when it was evening, so he's been ministering all day. His disciples came to him saying, this is a lonely place and the day is now over. Send the crowds away into the villages and buy themselves some food. But Jesus said to them, they do not need to depart. You give them something to eat. Huh? They said to him, we only have 5 loaves here and 2 fish. He said, bring them here to me. Then he commanded the crowds to sit down on the grass. He took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to his disciples. The disciples gave them to the crowds. They all ate and were filled. Everybody ate all they wanted till they were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments that remained. Those who had eaten were about 5,000 men besides women and children. They estimate there was a minimum of 20,000 people. Some estimate as many as 50,000, you know, 20,000 at least. So if you got husbands, wives, and kids, you know, again, people had big families, you know. So even if they just conservatively had a couple of kids there, you would have 20,000, you know, give or take. So again, that's a whole lot of mouths to feed out in the wilderness. Now let's look over here at John's account where we're specifically going to teach from. I wanted you to see both sides of this. John chapter 6, 1 through 13. After this, Jesus crossed over to the other side of Galilee, that is the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd followed him because they saw the signs he was performing on the sick. Amen. Jesus heals the sick. Glory to God. He was the healer. He is the healer. He forevermore will heal. Verse 3 says, then Jesus went up on the mountain and sat down with his disciples. Now the Jewish feast of the Passover was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, where can we buy bread for these to eat? But he was busy. But he was asking this to test him, for he knew what he was about to do. Philip answered, 200 denarii would not buy enough bread for each of them to even have a small piece. Again, a denarii, which would plural, it's denarii, but singular, it's denarius. A denarius is a grown man's wage. You go out, you work in the field, sun up to sun down. When you leave the field that night, you know, the owner will come and hand you 1 denarius. He says, if we've had 200 denarius, which is close to a year's wages, he said, that's not even enough money to give everybody here even a little piece. It's not enough. Again, this is a massive, massive crowd. They're out in the wilderness. There's nowhere to get food, right? You know, you can't just go. These towns, their facilities, they're overwhelmed. There's not enough hotels. There's not enough food. It's just not, it's not there, you know. Hallelujah. Jesus says to him, 200, again, Philip responds, 200 denarii would not buy enough bread for each of them to have a small piece. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, here is a boy with 5 barley loaves and 2 small, say 2 small. Hey, man, these weren't 2, you know, 100-pound fish. You know, this is a boy. He's got 2 small fish. He's got 5 barley loaves. We'll see more about that in a minute. But what difference will these make among so many? Have the people sit down, Jesus said. Now, there was plenty of grass in that place, so the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. Then Jesus took the loaves and the fish, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. And when everyone was, say, full, full, amen, everybody ate till they're full, he said to his disciples, gather the pieces that are left over so that nothing will be wasted. So they collected them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. How many disciples did Jesus have on his ministry staff and payroll? 12. Amen. This miracle just kept right on going. They personally gathered up at their own baskets. They each one had his own basket, amen, to pick up and to keep with him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There's more than enough. So I want to pause right here and just take a brief couple of comments and ask, what about this passage has stood out to you so far? There's no right or wrong answers, just comments. What stood out to you about this passage in particular? Amen. Yes?
Just do what Jesus says, even if it doesn't make sense.
Just do what Jesus says, even if it doesn't make sense. Amen. What else? Yes.
Jesus always provides.
Jesus always provides. He always has an answer. Amen. Praise God. Anybody else? Anybody else? Amen. Praise God. All right. Huh. I want to now kind of talk to us about this. Number one, what this miracle shows us about Jesus. Again, a massive crowd has gathered, you know, conservatively 20,000 people, men, women, children. They're hungry. Right. So again, the disciples we saw over there in Luke's account, Lord, send them away that they might go into all these surrounding villages and they can hopefully try to find something to eat. Jesus, again, he responds, no, you feed them. You feed them. You feed them. Again, always with this, Jesus is always working with people to pull faith. He's trying to, especially the 12. He's trying to teach them about faith because he knows his mission. He knows he's here for a short while. And when I'm gone, this has to be perpetuated and you're the ones that are going to have to get it started. Now, I'm teaching you, I'm showing you, but I have to specifically teach you faith. If I can't teach you faith, then how is anybody else going to get this? It's always going to have to be by faith. Praise God, they got the message. They got the message. But Jesus, we see all of their unbelief and all of these things that he has to work with. Praise God, which is an encouragement to us. Even doubting Thomas, even at the end, he still got it right. He went on to India. He went on to India. He ended up giving his life for the gospel. All of them did except for John. All of them died in the service of the Lord. But just a quick note, doubting Thomas did not stay doubting Thomas. Doubting Thomas got it right. Thomas got in faith. Amen. He went over there to India. Praise God. And there's still a whole lot of folks in India that you can trace back to Thomas. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I believe I got that right. Yes. Hallelujah. So again, the massive crowd gathers. They're hungry. The disciples are overwhelmed, but Jesus is not anxious. He's not intimidated. He's not surprised. Again, he's already spent time with the Father in prayer. He's already seen this. He says, I already know what I'm going to do, but I'm going to test you in this. I'm going to work with you in this. Say, man, we're going to learn something from this. Glory to God. And it's interesting to me that Holy Spirit chose to put this in all four gospel accounts. Again, each one has a slightly different facet that they're highlighting. It's all the same story, but they're just kind of coming at it from different sides of the mountain, showing us these things. Amen. So again, this miracle reveals, number one, that Jesus sees the need before we do. He knew these people needed to eat when he was out there hours before healing the sick. He knew these people got to eat. Hallelujah. He lifts up his eyes. He sees the crowd long before the disciples ever even feel the pressure. Again, Jesus already knows what he's going to do. Jesus uses lack here as a classroom teaching. He uses an impossible situation to train his disciples to trust. He teaches them obedience, and he teaches them the power of partnership. The power of partnership. Miracles is not just all up to God. Well, God's in control. He can do it if he wants to. And I'm just going to pray, if it be thy will, Lord, you go ahead and do it. And if it's not, well, I guess it's not your will. No, that's not faith. That's not partnership. Amen. Partnership is, I spent time in prayer inquiring of the Lord. I heard from God. I heard what he said. He revealed to me in the spirit what I need to do about this. And now I'm going to go be obedient to it. Again, week number one. The miracle in Cana, the very first recorded miracle. What did Mary tell the servants? Whatever he says to you to do, do it. Amen. What if they had not? There would have been no wine. Amen. And yet power was present to turn the water into wine. Power was present in all these other miracles to heal everybody in the room. But the only ones that got healed was the ones who would come to him in faith. Hallelujah. Again, Jesus uses lack as a classroom. This is about trust, obedience, and learning to partner with him. We also see here, number four, that Jesus multiplies what is surrendered. Whatever we surrender, he doesn't ask for what they don't have. He asks for what they do have. Jesus is not looking for your perfection, your qualifications. He's looking for your participation. Yeah. Your part to play is in faith and in obedience. Faith and obedience. Again, thank you, Lord. Faith is obedience to revelation. He has revealed something to you, and by faith, I'm going to take that word, I'm going to take that direction, and I'm going to hook up with it. I don't care what it feels like, what it looks like, how impossible, how big that mountain may seem, makes no difference. Faith is obedience to revelation. When you put all these facets together, you can sum it up in that faith is obedience to revelation. I've got a word from God, and I'm going to move in lockstep with him. I'm not taking my eyes off the prize. It's going to be this way. Amen. And as long as you'll keep your eyes on Jesus, you can walk on the water all day. You take them off, and you're going to sink. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. What Jesus did and why it matters. The disciples see lack. Jesus sees the size of the opportunity. Amen. Yeah. Oh, I've got something here that I can really work with. I've got something here I can teach you boys about today. Amen. And this is what the Father wants to do. But Andrew says here, there is a boy here with five loaves and two fish. But what is that among so many? There's several things about that statement I want to unpack. And number one, I want to look at the historical context of this. I believe it'll help us in this instance. So we see here five barley loaves, and Matthew records two small fish. The fish almost certainly are actually sardines. Sardines. Sardines are native to the Sea of Galilee, and it was noted that they had excellent sardines. Most notably, probably the best in all the known world was right there at the Sea of Galilee. wintertime, they would harvest them year round, but wintertime in particular was the biggest harvest season of it. Magdala is a town, it's on the western shore. It was known as a major fish processing and pickling center. It says they processed about 1,000 tons of sardines a year. During the winter months, again, that's on average about 3 tons a day, on average. During the winter months, again, during the peak season, they might be processing 10 tons a day. Just sardines. They process other fish too. Just sardines. They shipped those all over the Roman Empire, as far as Rome itself. I mean, this is a major, major industry. So again, Peter and Andrew and some of these other guys, they were fishermen. They most certainly would have been catching sardines in nets and stuff like that, along with other fish. Major, massive, massive industry. Okay. Hallelujah. Without, again, just looking at this, obviously the day and time, without refrigeration, how are you going to keep fish? Again, you keep fish out in the sun for a few hours. Can you imagine the stench? Right? So again, they're going to be salted or they're going to be pickled to preserve them. Again, the two fish, these are not even fish fillets. These are almost certainly small salted sardines. Again, this is a boy. This is his lunch. He has a portable lunch. Again, sardines, even I like sardines personally. I do, you know, just, you know, they have, you can get them seasoned up. I like to just put them with some mustard and crackers and let's go to town, you know. You know, even put some hot sauce on it, you know, like some nice, some Cholula or something, or Louisiana hot sauce. Come on. That's a good snack. And I like the ones that actually have the strong fish flavor. You can get some that have like skinless sardines and they don't really have any fish smell or fish taste. I'm like, what's the point? You know, I want to taste the fish. That's just good stuff right there. You know, I understand it's not everybody's cup of tea, but you know, especially in this day and time, that's just what you did. As again, sardines are, you can keep them for months and months and months, you know, and you can easily, you know, transport them wherever you go and you've got your protein. Amen. Hallelujah. The loaves, these are barley loaves. So again, notably, this says barley loaves. If you had money, middle class, there's really, you know, upper class, you would have wheat. You can't afford wheat, you buy barley. So again, this is someone without a lot of money. Otherwise, these would have had wheat loaves, not barley loaves. These barley loaves are actually small, flat, biscuit size, or most likely little flatbreads. In that part of the world, you have little flatbreads. He's got 5 little flatbreads of barley, and he's got a couple of sardines. This is his lunch. Again, just thinking about this, the crowd, he says, is out here, and yet his disciples are round about him. He's having this conversation with Philip. He's having it with Andrew. Obviously, there's a little boy standing by, which most likely was one of their sons, one of his followers. This is one of their sons standing right here by. Again, he's in earshot. He hears this conversation taking place, this private conversation taking place, and he says, oh, I've got a lunch. So again, I know me at 13 years old, I wasn't giving my lunch up for nobody, but you know, I would like to think for Jesus, I would give him my lunch. But he overhears this and obviously he offers up his lunch. And then Andrew says, and maybe it was his boy, I don't know. Andrew says, hey, well, here's this 5 barley loaves and a couple of sardines, Jesus, but what's this among so many? You know, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So again, we see here, Jesus says to bring them here to me. He says, this little bitty seed, this little bitty nothing, this little boy's lunch, and we've got 20,000 or more people out here. What's this? Again, if we had 200 denarii, that won't even give everybody even one little barley cake. He says, that's not enough to even buy that. Jesus says, bring this here to me. Bring it to me. At this moment, understand again, Jesus just told him, you go feed them. The disciples are overwhelmed. The need is too big. Resource is too small. I don't have, there's nothing. Even if we had all this money, even with this, there's not enough. We can't do it, Jesus. The situation is impossible. The crowd is hungry. the boys' lunch. Again, it's insignificant, but Jesus is not asking them to solve the problem. He's asking them to surrender their seed. He's asking them to partner with him in faith. Again, we saw this last week. Jesus and Peter walk on water. Even then, after Peter has got out of the boat, Peter's walking on the water. He starts observing the wind and the waves and all this, and then he takes his eyes off Jesus and he begins to sink. Jesus immediately, he says, "Lord, save me." He grabs Peter's hand and they get back in the boat together. And Jesus says to Peter, "Oh, you of little faith, wherefore did you doubt?" Again, he's always talking about faith. Now, again, Peter demonstrates great faith. Nobody else got out of the boat. No one else was bold. He said, "Lord, if that's you, command me. Lord, if you will give me a faith command, if you will give me a word, I know I can get out of this boat and I can walk on water." Jesus said one word, "Come." On the power of one word from God, he did something that no other man aside from Jesus right now did. He walked on water. And again, Jesus doesn't necessarily praise him for doing that part. He says, "Oh, you have little faith." Not no faith, little faith. Why did you doubt? You could have did this. And furthermore, I would like to know, what about the other 11 boys? Why didn't y'all say something? Why didn't y'all get out of the boat? In particular, after Peter's already out there, I would like to think, "Hey, Jesus, can you get me a word too?" Come on now. Amen. So again, that was an invitation. Amen. Jesus is not out here just to show off. The whole point of it was to invite them into this miracle, invite them to into a place of faith. Amen. Nothing's impossible. Nothing is impossible. Oh, if you'll just have a word from God, you can walk on water. You can heal. You can do anything. Again, all things are possible to him who believes. So a lot of times when we're facing a situation, all you need to do is look to Jesus and say, "Lord, command me. Give me a faith, give me a word, give me a faith command, give me something to do. I'll be obedient to that revelation and I'm going to see my miracle today." Amen. Today is your day. Faith is always in the now. Faith is always now. If it's tomorrow, if it's next month, if it's next year, it's just hope. It's just out here in the future. It's always out in the future, and it never comes to pass.
Right.
Give me a word, Lord. Give me a word. If I've got one word, that's all I need.
Yeah.
That's all I need to see the impossible come to pass. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's see here. The moment he's asking them again to surrender their seed. He's asking them to partner in faith. Again, he said he asked them to test them. He says, again, this is the moment when it hits his hands. This is the moment where the natural, where the impossible becomes possible. Yes, in your hands, you can't do anything. If you'll put it in my hands, all things are possible. If you'll believe. There's an ownership transfer. The boy surrenders the lunch. He gives it up. It hits Jesus' hands. And when it comes into his hands, what does Jesus do? He blesses it. He speaks good of it. Again, what does it mean to bless? You bless through words. You speak good about. Be fruitful. Multiply. Amen. Again, Jesus, number one, he takes what we bring. He took the loaves, John 6:11. Again, this is not about possession. It is about permission. When Jesus takes something, he takes responsibility for it. He takes ownership of the outcome. Again, the miracle begins the moment that seed left the boy's hands and went into Jesus' hands. You know, Scripture tells us, thank you, Lord. Let me see this. This is... Hebrews 3:1, "Therefore, holy brothers, partakers or sharers, joint heirs, we would say, in the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ. Again, profession is the word confession. Jesus, he is, the scripture calls him the apostle. What is apostle? One who is sent. One who is sent. The scripture says he is the apostle and high priest. What does the high priest do? What's the role of the high priest? He would take the offering, the high priest himself, and on behalf of the nation, he would offer it up to God. Whatever that, you know, different times of the year, different things. He would take that offering, he would present it to the Father. He would present it to God. He says he is now our high priest. So for example, tithes and offerings. When we are faithful in our tithes and our offerings, you're not presenting this necessarily to the local church. Now, that's where he told you to bring it. But he says there he receives tithes. It says on earth, men receive tithes. But he goes on to say there in Hebrews, there he receives them. He receives them as our high priest. And then he turns and he presents this to the Father. He says he's also the apostle of your confession. What do you say about it? What do you say about it? Tithes and offerings is a good example. When we will do this, when we will tithe in faith, I'm not just putting 10% in the bucket and watching it go down the row and buy. No, I'm mixing faith with it. Before we ever bring our tithe to church, we're tithing at home. We take that tithe check and we sit down over the scriptures and we take time to tithe the tithe itself. Oh, Lord, we want to thank you. It is you who has given us the power to gain wealth. It's you who's given us breath. It's you who's given us life. It's you. It's you, it's you, it's you, and we give you honor. We give you praise. We give you thanks. Amen? Because you said, prove you. Now, Malachi 3:10 says, prove me, test me now in this. See if I'll not do this. Open the windows of heaven for you. I'm going to pour you out such blessing, there won't be room enough to receive it. 12 disciples. They took what was not enough, and Jesus multiplied it into more than enough. Everyone ate till they were full. 12 disciples had their own basket. They went out and gathered it up till the baskets were full. There was most likely more left out there. But 12 disciples gathered up their own baskets until they were full. He says, there won't be room enough to receive it all. It's too much. He says, oh yeah, and by the way, I'm going to rebuke the devourer for your sake. He will not destroy the fruit of your ground. Amen. And amen, goes on and goes on. Praise God. Yeah. Hallelujah. Where was I? Where was I? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. When Jesus takes something, he takes responsibility for it. He takes ownership of the outcome. Whatever stays in your hand will stay small. Whatever you put into his hands, he will multiply. Prove me now in this. See if I'll not do it. Amen. Jesus goes on to say in Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given back unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shake together. And what? Running over. More than enough. 2 Corinthians 9:8, God is able to make all grace come to you in abundance so that you always, say always, doesn't matter what it is, how big it is, how high it is, how deep, makes no difference. Always. I can make all grace come to you in abundance so that you always, under all circumstances and whatever the need, you will be self-sufficient and I'm going to cause you to have enough left over so that you can give to every good work and to every charitable donation. You'll have more than enough. Everything that I put in your heart to do, everywhere I call you to be a blessing, there's enough grace to do it. Amen. But if you'll back up, God, he says, God loves a cheerful giver. Amen. It's not necessarily the size or the amount of your particular seed. It's the number one, that I hear from God, and am I doing it faithfully and cheerfully in harmony with Him? Again, a little boy's lunch, couple of sardines, five little barley flatbreads was enough to feed 20,000 or more people with much left over. It's not necessarily, you know, whether I gave $100, $1,000, or $10,000. Amen. It has to do, did I hear from God? Did I surrender what He told me to do? Amen. And did I do it cheerfully? If I'll do it, it'll work. It'll multiply.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Thank you, Jesus. He'll bless what we surrender. Before anything multiplies, Jesus blesses it. Blessing is alignment with heaven. Blessing is an authorization for increase. Blessing is consecration or consecrated or set apart for kingdom purpose. Again, He'll bless what we give, not what we keep. As long as it's in your hand, you're limited by the sweat of your brow, trying to figure out in your own human reason. But when you will take Him at His word, when you will seek first the kingdom and get a word from God and be obedient to that revelation, look out. Signs, wonders, miracles, healing, breakthrough. Again, your participation is required. Thank you, Lord. It's not just up to Him. Oh, if it be thy will, it's His will. It's His will for all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. That's what the scripture says. Yet not everyone is saved. Why not? They have not responded in faith. By my stripes, you're healed. Why isn't everyone healed? They have not responded in faith. I can make all grace come to you in abundance. Why isn't everyone walking in all types of grace? They've not responded in faith. And if and until, you can just keep doing it your way, and you can get your results. Or we can do it God's way, and we can see miraculous. Not just in your life. That's really not the point. If this is just about you, you can just forget the whole business and go be with Jesus right now. The whole point is so that you can be a blessing.
Amen. That's a good word.
I'm blessed to be a blessing. I'm coming to hear a word so I can give a word.
Amen.
I'm coming to learn how to flow in kingdom finances so I can be a commander of covenant wealth. Come on now, let's step up a notch. You're called to be a commander of covenant or kingdom wealth.
Yes.
Amen. Hey. Healing? You go lay hands on the sick, they will recover. If I don't know that, if I'm still wondering if it be thy will. No, I need to learn how to cooperate with Jesus. I need to learn who I am, what I have, and what I can do in Christ so I can go share it with others.
Yeah.
Amen. So I can be that the hands and feet of Jesus as I'm called to be. Everyone is called. I want to remind us, Ephesians chapter 4, He gave, when he ascended, He says He gave fivefold minister gifts to the church. Amen. I am pastor and I am teacher. I filled those two offices. Those are what I know. That's what I'm called to do. Amen. But He says all five of these are here for the ministry, for the equipping of the saints, so that the saints can do the work of the ministry. My ministry as pastor and teacher is primarily in these four walls and online. Your ministry is not in these four walls. Your ministry is out there. Amen. Your ministry is to go impact Ogallala, Brule, and Lemoyne, and Oshkosh, and all these surrounding areas for the glory of God. Amen. You are the hands and feet of Jesus. You are the disciples who take this ministry that you're learning in here, which we're going to be workshopping in just a minute, and you're going to take it out there. Glory to God. You're the one who's going to be at the beautiful gate, such as I have, give I unto you in the name of Jesus, rise and walk. For you and I, that might be at Safeway. Glory to God. That might be at Walmart. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Again, Jesus takes what we bring. He blesses what we surrender. He breaks what we will release. Amen. Hallelujah. He's going to multiply. He's going to multiply. He multiplies what we give. He feeds what we could never feed. Again, these disciples could never feed this large crowd with the finances or with the lunch or anything else combined. It's not possible. You can't even buy enough food where you're at to feed this multitude. All right? Jesus can. This is the heart of partnership. We bring the seed offering. We bring our faith with it. Jesus will multiply it. Amen. And then he's going to turn around and says, now you're going to be the ones to distribute it. Jesus takes the fish and the barley loaves. He blesses it. He breaks it. And then he gives some to every disciple, 12 disciples. In their hands, they walk through the crowd. They're just continuing to break it themselves. The miracle starts with the little boy offering his lunch. It passes through. It gets to Jesus' hands. He blesses it. He now breaks and multiplies it. It goes into the 12 disciples' hands. They walk through the crowd just breaking it and distributing it. As in their hands, it's multiplying. It's multiplying. It's multiplying. It's multiplying. Everyone's just helping themselves to all they can eat. Buffet, loaves, and fish. The miracle took place in their hands. It started back over here. There was a whole chain. It took everybody. Everyone's faith. They had to do it in faith themselves, and they did it. Glory to God. Jesus is always going to require you to participate in your own miracle. Yes, it was his will that everyone be fed that day. It was not his faith alone. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. What does this mean for us today? Jesus multiplies what we will surrender. Not what we hide, not what we hold back, but what we will actually place into his hands. Whatever that is. Whatever it is. Again, we go back over in 2 Corinthians 9. I'm going to just read this to us. This is really key. Never go by someone else's revelation or someone else's faith. You can get messed up doing that. Too many people have tried to walk where others are in their faith when they themselves are not yet there. That can get you in trouble. Walk where you're at. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and I'm going to back up here. I believe it. All right, help me, Jesus. Verse 6, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Now get this, verse 7, let every man give according to the purposes of his heart, not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now, he goes on to say, God is able to make all grace come to you in abundance. Again, the size of your seed. Amen. Now, again, you might be at a $5 seed, a $100 seed, a $1,000 seed, or $10,000. Give as the Lord has purposed and put into your heart. It's far better to give, number one, do what he says, but it's far better to give $10 cheerfully than to give $100 grudgingly. I don't have $100 seed faith right now. I've got $10 seed faith. And I can give this $10 cheerfully, praise God, and I can go rejoicing, Lord Jesus, I thank you that you have given me this $10 to sow. And Lord, I'm sowing it tonight, and I'm mixing faith with it. And Lord, I'm believing, I'm receiving, even as you said over here, the sower sows the word. He goes on 30, 60, and 100 fold. I'm believing for that 30. I'm believing for that 60. I'm believing for the 100 fold return on this harvest. Amen. Now we can step up and now we can sow the 100. Now we can sow the 500. Now we can sow the, again, I'm just using money as an example of this. You can sow all types of things. Amen. But it's better to do that cheerfully and in faith. Now you've got something to work with God. Again, all he needed here was this little boy's lunch. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Better to do it cheerfully and in faith. Amen. Hallelujah. Again, take time to hear from him, whether we're talking about finances, whether you're talking about time, whether it's stepping out in your own personal ministry. Amen. Coming, prayer. Prayer is a ministry. Prayer is a ministry. Matter of fact, we have Friday prayer at 9 o'clock here every Friday. We have pre-service prayer on Sunday mornings. You can come and sow time in prayer. If the Lord, if the Lord would have you to do, that is a ministry. Maybe he would have you up here, teaching and leading. Amen. We're looking for help. Amen. Maybe it's serving in the children. Maybe it's serving in other places. Maybe it's, get started with evangelism, these different things. Hallelujah. Again, Jesus will multiply what we surrender. Faith is really not faith until it is acted upon in obedience. Again, faith is obedience to revelation. The miracle started when they brought the 5 loaves and fishes. Also, nothing is too small for God's to use. Nothing's too small. Nothing's too small. You have to start wherever you're at. If you're at loaves and fishes, if you're at $5, then start there. Start at the 5. You can get to the 10. You can get to the 50. You can get to the 100. Finance is just the low hanging fruit. It's easy. We all understand this. Amen. Nothing's too small. Nothing's too insignificant. Start wherever you're at. Lack is not a barrier. It's an invitation. Anywhere you're facing a deficit, whether it's healing, whether it's finances, whether it's something going on in your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions, this is just an invitation to partner with him to see the power of God show up in your life. It's not a barrier. In Christ, you're already healed. In Christ, you're blessed. In Christ, you're already free. Again, Jesus is inviting us into partnership. Partnership. Huh. Thank you, Jesus. Again, faith is never passive. Faith will always participate. I have this identity statement for this week. Let's all say it together. It's in our notes here. In Christ, what I surrender becomes more than enough. Praise God. Whatever you will surrender will become more than enough. So I want to go ahead and dismiss online. We're going to take a few minutes to discuss this in the room and then have a ministry lab. Praise God. Again, Friday prayer, 9 o'clock this Friday right here. And then pre-service prayer, 9:20. Service starts at 10 o'clock on Sunday. Again, online, we're going to go ahead and dismiss. But in the meantime, know this, God loves you. We love you. And in him, we are living in victory.